Thank you very much, Lynn. It is really good to be back. You know, when I'm gone for a couple of weeks, it seems like I'm gone for half a year. So it's always great fun to be back. Tonight we are here first for sharing from the Seven Steps to Awakening. And then secondly, an hour from now, I will be leading an Awakening Together quarterly member meeting. So hang around for that. I've got lots of information to share. What I would like to do is just get started with some quietness, some stillness. I'm going to play a song. It's Amazing Grace, which you all are really familiar with, I know. But this one is sung by the Cherokee National Children's Choir, and it is in Cherokee language. So why don't we just be still and listen to this as we get centered and ready for our seven-step sharing.
Une
As I mentioned, it's wonderful to be back. It's wonderful to be here with all of you all. And tonight we're going to be looking at the seven steps sharing from my personal journal. I had this all set up on my computer, but I accidentally closed it. So let me get to 667, which is where we're going to be starting tonight. And then I will share that link with you in the room. All right, here is a link to 667 in my journal. For those of you who like to read along in the journal. Of course, I'm also using the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. The way this works is I will read, quote, 667 from the book, maybe share a little bit about it, depending on what happens. And then I will be reading from my journal, which is the link I just gave you, 667, which is what I wrote when I was contemplating this quote in December of 2012. Let me start by reading quote 667 to you from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. It's a rather lengthy quote, so I don't know how you are listening, but sometimes when I'm listening, I listen better with my eyes closed, because there's no distraction. So if you want to, close your eyes while I read this lengthy quote. I'll also read it slowly, and I might read it more than once. We'll see what happens. So here we go, 667. Mind is like a crow which dwells in the nest of this body. It revels in filth. It waxes strong by consuming flesh. It pierces the hearts of others. It knows only its own point of view, which it considers as the truth. It is dark on account of its ever-growing stupidity. It is full of evil tendencies, and it indulges in violent expressions. It is a burden on earth. Drive it far, far away from yourself. And of course, sometimes I know many of the people that come to this room are students of A Course in Miracles. And sometimes when people hear the word mind, if they're students of A Course in Miracles, they ask that question, what does this mean, mind? You know, what is he talking about, mind? And the mind here would be equal to what the Course would call the ego or the wrong mind. And as you know, if you are a student of A Course in Miracles, the Course actually colors the ego in much the same way as this quote does. In fact, the Course says that the ego is what? Suspicious at best, and something about how it can become very vicious. I don't remember the exact quote. Somebody else may be able to write that in, but suspicious at best, and then of course it can become very vicious. And that's really the same thing that's being said here in 667. Let's listen to this quote again. This is from Yoga Vasistha. Here we go. Mind is like a crow which dwells in the nest of this body. It revels in filth. It waxes strong by consuming flesh. It pierces the hearts of others. It knows only its own point of view, which it considers as the truth. It is dark on account of its ever-growing stupidity. It is full of evil tendencies, and it indulges in violent expressions. It is a burden on earth. Drive it far, far away from yourself. So what I'm going to do now is go to my journal and see what I wrote after contemplating this quote. The journal says, ego cannot be tamed. Its characteristics are judgment and selfishness. Even more, judgment and selfishness are its nature. Without judgment and selfishness, there is no ego. There is only love. And when I read the word selfishness here, another word that someone might use is self-centeredness. In other words, it's always looking at the world and understanding the world through the point of view of me and mine. If something has no effect at all, and no potential effect at all on me or mine, there's probably a solid disinterest about it. If it has any kind of an effect or potential effect on me or mine, then there is, of course, an interest. And the stronger the effect or the stronger the identification with, then the more the interest. For example, oops, no mic. Shoot, I see a mic. Oh, it's good for Barb. Okay. Okay, I will stay then. I won't go out and come back. I'm glad that some of the rest of you all gave me some feedback. So I will stay then. So I was saying that, the ego's selfishness could also be called self-centeredness. That's viewing, the world and all experience through the filter of me and mine. And I was saying that, the less of an effect or potential effect or identity with, the less of that that there is regarding me or mine, the less interest I probably have in it. And the closer or the stronger the effect on me and mine, or the closer, the stronger the identification with, the more interest I have in it. So it's all about me, whether I'm interested in a particular thing or not. For example, if I am identified with a particular sports team, like if I was identified with the Denver Broncos, I see myself as a Denver Broncos fan, right? That's a part of my self-identification. Then, of course, I have a lot of interest in the games. If Denver Broncos has nothing to do with my self-identification, I have no interest in the games. Whether I'm interested in the games or not has everything to do with me. If I perceive myself as a person who is really linked in with the economy of the United States, for example, when the economy goes up, I make more money. And if the economy seems to go down, I make less money, possibly even losing my job. And I perceive a direct connection between my safety and the economy of the United States, then I am very interested in the economy of the United States. If I really do not see any direct interest, any direct link at all between the economy of the United States and my security, then I may have zero interest in the economy of the United States. Let's say, for example, that I am born to a small tribe in South America, that still lives in the jungle according to the old ways. Zero, zero, zero interest in the economy of the United States, in the stock market, etc., because it has nothing to do with me. However, I might begin to have an interest in how many Westerners are coming in and cutting down trees, etc., like that in the rainforest, because that is linked to me. Right? Because I am a member of a tribe in the rainforest, and the rainforest is how I survive and probably even how I worship. So let me read again what number 667 in the journal says. Ego cannot be tamed. Its characteristics are judgment and selfishness. Even more judgment and selfishness are its nature. Without judgment and selfishness, there is no ego. There is only love. So if I do not have that personal perspective where I'm viewing the world through me and mine, where I have interest or disinterest based on its perceived connection to me and mine, if that is not there, if that is taken away, then what's left is love. Completely unprejudiced, completely unselfish, completely non-judgmental, completely open love. Beingness, isness. But as long as there is the idea of me or mine, there will be a selfish perspective and a judgmental perspective in how I view the world. For example, if I am born into a tribe in the rainforest, my judgment may well be that it is wrong for these white men, or whatever term I use to describe them, to come in and cut down our trees. However, depending on where I'm born into in the United States and what connection those trees have to my safety when they are cut down, to my industry, to my job, I may think that it's very, very good to go down to the rainforest and cut down trees. Neither perspective is love. Both perspectives are selfish. Both perspectives are viewing the world through the idea and the attachment of me and mine. Again, ego cannot be tamed. This idea of me, this idea of me, when I am attached to this idea of me, I cannot teach myself not to perceive the world through the selfish filter of me and mine. As long as the ego is there, to some degree, now maybe to some degree I can start letting go of those ideas. I can start being less judgmental, more open, more general. But it cannot be complete as long as I am still in some way attached to that idea of me and mine. There will be some things that will still be threatening. You know, maybe, for example, I am really able to be completely unconcerned about this body's safety, right? But then when something begins to threaten my child's safety, maybe something begins to kick in again. You know, depending on what would cause a particular ego, which has been fairly tamed, to strengthen and rise up as a selfish ego again may vary from one individual to another. But as long as I have that idea of me and mine, and I'm attached to that idea of me and mine, in some way that ego will rise up. I can't tame it completely. I got distracted for a second, a happy distraction. Robbie wrote, there's a Beatles song that supports your message, a great song for this message. What song is that? Maybe we'll play it at the end of the hour if you tell me which song. Because that would be a lot of fun. You see, I'm interested in that song because it has something to do with me or mine. No, in this case, that's not true. The message I do not perceive as me or mine. The message I perceive as general. The message I perceive as love. This teaching is for all of us, right? It's not specific to a me or a mine. All right, so 667, again, from the journal. Ego cannot be tamed. Ego cannot be tamed. Its characteristics are judgment and selfishness. Even more, judgment and selfishness are its nature. Without judgment and selfishness, there is no ego. There is only love. And with that, I'm going to scroll down and click on number 668 in the journal. Oh, I, Me, Mine is the Beatles song. I don't know if I know that song. I don't know, Robbie, if you're able to get it cued and ready. And if so, I could turn the mic over to you at the end of the teaching and you could play it. I don't think I have that song. Or if I do, I don't know it by title. Let me read 668 from The Seven Steps to Awakening. Again, this is a Yoga Vasistha quote. Mind is like a monkey. It roams from one place to another, seeking fruits, rewards, pleasures, etc. Bound to this world cycle, it dances and entertains people. Restrain it from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. Mind is like a monkey. It roams from one place to another, seeking fruits, rewards, pleasures, etc. Bound to this world cycle, it dances and entertains people. Restrain it from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. I suppose it would be fair to say that this quote describes my current purpose for life. I believe that our purpose for life can change based on where we are, what we value, what we perceive as important, right? Jesus said something in the Bible about where your treasure lies, there your heart is also. And I would say that my treasure lies with clarity. Clarity being this openness that can be completely intuitive and spontaneous without the interference of the monkey mind, without the distraction of the monkey mind, and most definitely without believing the monkey mind. You know, if my monkey mind begins to tell me some story, maybe about a particular person that's trying to make me look bad or trying to make himself or herself just look better than me. And if I listen to that particular story, it may come up with different ideas about how I can correct this or change this or make that person look worse or make me look better. You know, and maybe I think, instead of starting my teachings with music, I should start my teachings with prayer, for example. You know, maybe for some reason I think that's going to make me look better than this one I perceive myself in competition with. And if I listen to that and then act on that and begin putting prayer first in my teachings for this reason, I'm completely a slave to this monkey mind. My purpose for life right now is to become completely free from that possibility, completely free from that possibility where I am so free from the mind. I have so little interest in its stories and ideas that I literally never, to any degree, become a slave to it anymore. That I am completely open and completely spontaneous and never acting or speaking from that calculating, imagining monkey mind. And so since that is my purpose, the last line of 668, restrain it, the monkey mind, from all sides. Restrain it from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. That is my purpose for life right now. In other words, if I, hold on one second. Danielle, is that you? Okay. When I notice that my mind is off doing that monkey mind thing, I just drop it. I just drop it. It used to be more difficult for me, and so I had to go through some kind of a routine in order to let go. I was telling some friends the other night that when I first started this path with the Course in Miracles and I was learning to let go of thinking, of ego thinking, I would imagine myself taking some idea that I felt very attached to but I knew was ego. I would take this idea and I would put it in this imaginary box and close up the box, wrap it in wrapping paper, put a bow around it, and hand it to the Holy Spirit. And say, here, Holy Spirit, you take this from me. I do not want it anymore. I had to go through all of that in order to let go because I was so attached to my ideas, so thinking that my perspective, my point of view was right or the truth, as our previous quote said. Now, thank you, Lynn. I see you have the song. That's wonderful. But now what's happened is that all I have to do is notice that I've become distracted by this mind, and I drop it. It's like I lose interest. I lose any willingness to listen as soon as I notice. So this noticing and losing interest is my current purpose for life. I do this in a very focused way during the time that I'm meditating, but even when I'm not meditating, this is what I'm doing. Some of you may have heard that last night I slept in my car outside of a cheap motel in order to color a really, really pretty picture. I stayed in a cheap motel last night up in Fort Collins because Danielle and I wanted to take Danielle and the doggies up to see Jasmine at college. And Danielle and I both are not spending a lot of money right now. She's having a house built soon. And in my case, my roommate's moving out soon. So we're both, you know, just watching the pennies a little more than usual. So we stayed in a cheap motel. And because I guess of some activity in the motel, my dog was very upset and pacing and barking. And, you know, you can't have a barking dog in a motel. So I decided to go outside and sleep in the car in the parking lot with my dog. It wasn't Motel 6, but it was next door to Motel 6. And while I'm laying out there, I think it was around 11 at night when I went out to sleep with the dog. And when I was laying there, I don't remember which thought came first, but there were two thoughts in particular. One thought that came was that there might be some kind of security that might come around and tell me that I can't sleep out there. The other thought was that there might be some kind of a sicko who comes and sees this woman alone in a car, you know, in a deserted parking lot at night, and decided to in some way, you know, harm her, you know, rape, murder, whatever, rob, although there was nothing really to rob, but still. And I could even spy in my mind an interest to entertain these thoughts. Yeah, the crazy thoughts still surfaced, but I didn't listen to them. I saw the thoughts, and this is what I did. This is what I did. I literally said to myself, if I listen to these thoughts, I will not sleep. And I want to sleep. And the thoughts came around, you know, I don't know, I mean, kind of lightly, not heavily. The thoughts came around lightly for, I don't know how long, 15, 20 minutes. They kind of kept trying to tempt me, try to get me to, you know, think about it. And I kind of stayed with the same intention, you know, I just want to sleep and I'm not going to sleep if I pay attention to these thoughts. And obviously I did not pay attention to the thoughts because I fell asleep. But, you know, that's what I see my purpose in life right now, is to recognize the ego as the ego and not listen to it. You know, I told the story about last night because that's my most recent story. But if it had been another day, I would have had another story about the thoughts that came up yesterday, and here's how I didn't listen to them and let them go and they're forgotten. Because that is what I do. That is what I do. That is my life. That is what I do. No matter what else it appears that I am doing, that is what I am doing. I am letting go of this thinking. And I am shifting my attention to awareness. Shifting my attention to clear, unthinking being. That is what I do. So again, 668 says, mind is like a monkey. It roams from one place to another, seeking fruits, rewards, pleasures, etc. Bound to this world cycle, it dances and entertains people. And this is the sentence that I was really focusing on in my previous story. Restrain it from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. Of course, last night I was just wishing to attain sleep. But it's the same thing. I didn't want to be distracted by the monkey mind and not be able to have a peaceful sleep. Another thought, which maybe was the hardest one to let go of last night. Because the story about a security guy coming around and telling me I can't sleep in my car, that was a what if. And the story about a sicko coming and hurting me in some way, that was a what if. But there was another story that didn't seem quite so much like a what if. My car is not wide enough when I lay down in the back seat for me to stretch out. So I had to be, you know, curled up with my legs bent. And, you know, my legs began to get tired of that position. They wanted to stretch out. And I realized that this thought was really no different than the other two thoughts. That if I listen to the thought, my legs need to stretch. So I needed to decide, and I did decide, that I can sleep just fine even if my legs cannot stretch out. That the position that I'm laying in cannot be an obstacle to my sleep. Now, thinking about the position that I'm laying in can be an obstacle to my sleep, but the position itself cannot. And again, I must have successfully let go of this thought because I slept until 6:30 this morning. I almost never sleep till 6:30. Of course, I was outside and it doesn't get good and light until 6:30. And also, I think Danielle texted me at 6:30. That's what really woke me up. She texted me and that's what woke me up. But again, I was able to let go of the thought that I need to be stretched out in order to sleep. Restrain the monkey mind from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. Or I would say, if you wish to be free, truly free. You know, Peace Pilgrim used to talk about how she could sleep anywhere. How one night she might be in somebody's home in a soft bed with a pillow and blankets, and the next night she might be laying down on the cold concrete somewhere. But she said she could just tell her body to go to sleep, and it would. So that means there were no thoughts keeping her awake saying, oh, I need to be in a warm bed, a warm, soft bed. She could just sleep anywhere. That to me is a symbol of being free of the monkey mind. Because the monkey mind would most definitely tell us, I cannot sleep on cold, hard concrete. In fact, there was a little bit of chilliness last night, too. I also needed to be able to sleep even though I wasn't warm. And again, I was successful at that as well. Of course, this particular quote, I mean, I've been focusing on this last line. It says restrain it, but what I, as you notice, what I really do is I let it go. I lose interest in it. I decide that thought is not important, or I decide that thought is an obstacle to what I really want, and therefore I let it go and I choose what I really want, which last night was sleep. Restrain it from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. But this quote also has some other lines in it. It says, mind is like a monkey. It roams from one place to another. Well, first of all, we can see that just in last night. I mean, look, you know, in last night, there were the thoughts, what if a security guard comes and tells me I cannot sleep? You know, what if some man comes and, you know, hurts me in some way, somebody with evil intentions? Oh my goodness, I can't sleep. My legs are bent. I can't straighten them out. Oh my goodness, it's cold. I need to be warm. You can see how the monkey mind just jumps from one thing to another, right? It definitely doesn't have one purpose, unless that one purpose is to keep me from being free. But actually, the monkey mind would never say that. You know, when the monkey mind is telling me I can't sleep with my legs bent, it's not saying that, hey, listen to me and you won't be free. Somehow there's this subtle feeling, if you listen to me, you're going to realize that you need to make sure from now on that you can sleep in a bed with your legs stretched out, and in that way you will be free someday, right? So the monkey mind is actually promising freedom. So it's roaming from place to place, jumping from topic to topic, promising me freedom someday, some way, if I get rid of this or if I add that, we call these desires. When all the while what it's really doing is keeping me from being free right now, right this moment, able to sleep peacefully in my car as a symbol. So one thing the monkey mind does, and we can all see this, it roams from one place to another, seeking fruits, rewards, pleasures, right? Again, it's promising us salvation if we will listen to it. We will finally get what we need, or we will get rid of what's in our way if we listen to it. It also says bound to this world cycle, it dances and entertains people. That line has two different meanings for me. One, if I am listening to the monkey mind, if I had been laying awake all night last night listening to what if a security guard comes by, what if somebody with evil intentions comes by, oh my gosh, it's cold, oh my gosh, my legs are bent. If I had laid awake all night listening to that, although I would not have felt entertained, I would have felt like I was suffering from lack of sleep. What's really happening is I'm being entertained by the mind. And why do I say that? Because I am giving it my attention. I'm listening to everything it's saying. And in fact, I'm emotionally and passionately involved with everything it has to say about all these ways in which I'm going to suffer or in which I am suffering. So one way that I understand this line is that it dances and entertains me, and that's why I listen to it all of the time. But another way that I understand this line is how I, me, want you and others to perceive me in a way that's favorable to my own idea of myself. So therefore, the monkey is always telling me how to act and speak so that you will approve of me, right? So in that way, it's causing me to dance and entertain you. And I'm not being in any way authentic. I'm just trying to seek your favors, your smile, your approval. Mind is like a monkey. It roams from one place to another, seeking fruits, rewards, pleasures, etc. Bound to this world cycle, it dances and entertains people. Restrain it from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. I would say, let it go, let it go, let it go. Every time you notice it, let it go. I was talking to a friend today who has been suffering with the monkey mind. And I was, you know, basically in my own way sharing the same message about when these thoughts come, you just need to let them go. And after a few moments, she would say, yeah, but, and then another thought. I'd say, that's another one right there. That's another thought. We don't even need to discuss it. We don't need to talk about, you know, whether that is going to happen or not. That's just another thought that needs to be let go. I mean, what if I needed to call people up last night and talk about what's the likelihood that if I sleep in this parking lot near a, you know, behind a cheap motel that I might get hurt in some way? What if I had called my mother and say, Mom, do you think I should do this? And then called my father, and then called my friends, and spent the whole night talking to people. That's still not dropping it, right? That would keep me just as awake as if I laid there thinking about it. No, when the thought arose, and again, this didn't come as some kind of an intuition. And I want to point that out, by the way. There can be times when there's an intuition to maybe leave a place or don't do that. You know, it's a very gentle, it has no fear in it, but, you know, it's guiding you in the way that's best for you. I had no intuition not to go sleep in that car. Sleeping in the car was fine, and my intuition knew sleeping in the car was fine. I want to make that point very, very clear. I knew sleeping in the car was fine. I knew I could sleep in the car and be happy sleeping in the car. All I needed to do was let go of these thoughts. That's where intuition was, okay? So I want to be clear about that. So as soon as these thoughts began to arise, you know, instead of calling people and discussing with people, do you think I should believe this thought, right? I needed to just let the thoughts go immediately. Let the thoughts go immediately. Let them go. Let them go. It's the faster we can let these thoughts go, the better. Because if we listen to them for 30 minutes and then try to let them go, we have some attachment to them by then. They're a little stickier and it's harder to let them go. As soon as they come, if we recognize, ah, that's just ego. That's just fear. That's just judgment. That's just selfishness. That's just whatever. And that's not the quality of thought that I want in my mind. And then let it go as quickly as possible. We'll be freer much sooner. Let me read this quote one more time. We haven't even gotten to the journal yet. So let me read this quote one more time, quote 668, and then we'll go see what I wrote in the journal in December of 2012. Mind is like a monkey. It roams from one place to another, seeking fruits, rewards, pleasures, etc. Bound to this world cycle, it dances and entertains people. Restrain it from all sides if you wish to attain perfection. All right, so I'm going to go have a peek at the journal now. 668 from December 2012, the journal says, mind-body connection, or ego, is highly involved in itself and continually reinforces its reality and importance. Me, 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 right? Me. The world, as seen from the perspective of the mind-body connection, is all about me. What has that to do with me? What will they think of me? Is that convenient for me? This is selfishness. Selfishness enhances ego. If one wants to be free of ego, one must let go of selfish thinking. I think that's pretty clear. I think we've kind of already talked about this. I don't know if there's anything for me to add. Let me just read it one more time. Mind-body connection, or ego, is highly involved in itself and continually reinforces its reality and importance. The world, as seen from the perspective of the mind-body connection, is all about me. What has that to do with me? What will they think of me? Is that convenient for me? This is selfishness. Selfishness enhances ego. If one wants to be free of ego, one must let go of selfish thinking. There is something that I can say to this. One of my other habits, and by habits, I mean good habits, you know, habits that are replacing, new habits that are replacing the old. So one of my habits is doing my very best to check for intuition instead of thinking about me. And what I mean by that is, if somebody should say, Regina, is it okay if you and I get together on Thursday and take care of this such and such and such? You know, maybe I need somebody to take me, follow me to drop my car off, and then drive me to work and then pick me up later and take me back to pick up my car at the garage. Can you do that? The old habit would have been, you know, if somebody wanted to do this on Thursday, the old habit would have been looking at my imagined Thursday and would it be convenient for me to help this person on Thursday? And even after that habit, once I started studying spirituality and I started to develop a strong spiritual ego, my habit would have been, my second habit, which is equally an error, would have been, I'm a bad person if I don't help. Therefore, without any kind of checking in, I am going to say yes. So first there would have been a checking in with thinking, with my plans, is this going to be convenient for me? And then my second ego, the spiritual ego, would have said, gosh, you're bad if you don't do this. A good spiritual person helps. You better say yes. I don't do either of those anymore. My newest habit is to be still and feel intuition. Is intuition yes or is intuition no? Not check with thinking, any type of thinking, not spiritual thinking and not me thinking, but check for that intuitive feeling. So, you know, again, 668 is saying that one of the questions is that convenient for me? This is a question that I obviously noticed was ego. And I choose not to think about my own convenience. I choose to check with the intuition. and by checking with the intuition, I'm both bypassing and letting go of, and also not reinforcing ego. Again, 668 says, mind-body connection, ego, is highly involved in itself and continually reinforces its reality and importance. The world as seen from the perspective of the mind-body connection is all about me. What has that to do with me? What will they think of me? Is that convenient for me? This is selfishness. Selfishness enhances ego. If one wants to be free of ego, one must let go of selfish thinking, which is again why there's a checking in with intuition instead. I'm going to scroll down and click on 669A. All right. 669A, I was reading the board a little bit. That's what the pause was about. All right, 669A, this is the quote from Yoga Vasistha in the Seven Steps to Awakening. Tranquilize the mind with the help of the mind itself. Forever abandon every form of mental agitation. Remain at peace within yourself like a tree freed from the disturbance caused by monkeys. Think of a tree freed from the disturbance caused by monkeys, right? Remain at peace with yourself like a tree freed from the disturbance caused by monkeys. Tranquilize the mind with the help of the mind itself. I do this all the time. Last night when I wanted to sleep, that's really what I was doing, was simply remembering that I wanted to sleep. If I listen to this thought, I will not sleep. I want to sleep. And that allowed me to let go of the thought. One practice that I had for many, many years was asking, what do I truly want? And that being, of course, awakening or truth. Truth realization. Knowing truth. And when I would remember that, it would allow me to drop the monkey mind by remembering what I really wanted. Nowadays, my most common practice is that I simply shift into being aware of the clear, open space that I am, which is called awareness. Being aware of that. And then, you know, if I'm doing a task, paying attention to the task from the openness instead of paying attention to the task through the mind. That's how I use the mind, because the mind is asking, what do I truly want? Or sometimes self-inquiry, who am I? Or the mind is remembering that I want to shift into awareness instead of staying with thinking. You see, the mind is helping to tranquilize itself with these right-minded reminders, ideas, inquiries. Tranquilize the mind with the help of the mind itself. Forever abandon every form of mental agitation. Forever abandon every form of mental agitation. Forever abandon every form of mental agitation. Notice this doesn't say, if the idea is that you are going to be hurt because you're sleeping in a car in the parking lot of a cheap motel, that's something you should let go of. You know, if the idea is that you're going to be hurt, you should let go of that. But if an idea should arise, you know, that your daughter walking across campus in CSU at night is going to be hurt, that's something you should worry about. You know, now you have cause to worry, right? This doesn't say that. This doesn't say forever abandon some mental agitations that others are worthy, right? It doesn't say that. It says forever abandon every form of mental agitation. My daughter was telling me how next week she's going to go with some friends in a car to Denver. And I've driven that road between Denver and Fort Collins several times now, so I know that the cars often are traveling at a high speed, but very close to each other. Like they aren't leaving that distance that is recommended that you leave between cars. And I also have seen many accidents along that road. And so when my daughter told me the next weekend she and some friends are going to go to Denver and one will be driving, there was this thought to worry. And then my very next thought, a right-minded thought, not to worry, just to let that go. Very quickly this happened, bam, bam, maybe even faster than that. But you see, some people would think, as a mother, it is my job to worry. I mean, this is how some people feel. It is my job to worry about whether she will be safe next weekend on that highway. It's my job to think about all the things that could go wrong and then call her and tell her everything I need to tell her to try and help her avoid all of these possible things that could go wrong. Like, that is my job. But that's not what this says. This says, forever abandon every form of mental agitation. Forever abandon every form of mental agitation. So just the fact that for a moment I'm agitated, just by the fact that the moment that thought, when that thought arises that she could be in an accident and get hurt, and there's that's enough to let me know that's a thought to be let go of. That's enough to let me know this is not a place to stay in the mind. Just return to being, return to ising, return to now. Tranquilize the mind with the help of the mind itself. Forever abandon every form of mental agitation. And in this line, remain at peace within yourself. Like a tree freed from the disturbance caused by monkeys. You know, the first time I read that, I think I saw a tree that the monkeys had left. Like it was a tree that, you know, it used to be agitated because there were lots of monkeys, and then it left. And that's, the monkeys left and the tree was fine. But then I thought, do trees get agitated? No, of course not. Trees are never agitated. Monkeys may jump around in the trees, they may fight, they may scream, and the tree is always at peace. The tree is always at peace. The tree doesn't need the monkeys to leave in order to be freed from the disturbance caused by the monkeys. The tree simply is at peace, simply is free. It is free of the disturbance caused by the monkeys. Yeah, that's, can you feel that in your heart? That's what I want. I don't want to have to get to the point where I never see a thought again that says, for example, oh, next weekend, daughter driving to Denver with college friends. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. You know, I don't want to get to the point where I can't even see those thoughts before I'm free. I want to be free even if those thoughts appear. Free to look at that thought and say, oh, no, I'm not hanging out with you. Free to be at peace even if the thought comes, right? Tranquilize the mind with the help of the mind itself. Forever abandon every form of mental agitation. Remain at peace within yourself, like a tree, freed from the disturbance caused by monkeys. All right, let's go have a peek at the journal. 669A. It does not matter what appears to be going on. It does not matter what you appear to be doing. It does not matter what the mind is thinking or what strain the body feels. Through it all, remain as yourself. Do not wander from yourself. All is well. What does this mean, remain as yourself? For me, right now, at this stage in my awakening or development or whatever you want to call it. For me, remain as yourself means remain the watcher. Watching. Just watching. Not thinking about, not forming opinions, not judging, not resisting. just being, just watching. To the degree that I can do that, if you'll pardon these words, because they sound judgmental, but they're not meant to be. But to the degree that I can remain the watcher, I feel I am being successful. And again, I don't mean to imply failure otherwise. Words are sometimes difficult to use, but there's just this feeling that this is the right way for me to be. That's what I mean by successful. This is the right way for me to be. This is the most helpful way for me to be right now as the watcher. You know, if I can just be watching the circumstances in the world with equanimity, that's great. If I forget for a time and an upset comes, if I can then watch the upsets, that's great, right? If I forget for a time and an upset comes and then I judge myself for being upset, if I can just watch that turmoil that finally arises when I finally wake up to the turmoil that has happened inside of me, if I can at that point step back and just watch, you see, I'm being successful. And, you know, I can always shift into watching. I may go into my wrong mind in a very deep way before I remember. But when I do remember, I can start watching right then and there, no matter how deeply I've gone, which means I can always be successful. I can always be the right way for me to be right now, which is the watcher of whatever appears, whether it's internal or apparently external. So again, 669A says, it does not matter what appears to be going on. It does not matter what you appear to be doing. It does not matter what the mind is thinking or what strain the body feels. Through it all, remain as yourself, the watcher. Do not wander from yourself. All is well. That's 669A. I'm going to go ahead, and the few moments we have left, I'm going to read 669B. Helpful thoughts are thoughts that remind you to relax and stay as yourself. These are thoughts of remembrance. And I've talked about some of those thoughts, right? I've talked about how one thought that was really key to me for a number of years was, what do I truly want? When I would ask myself, what do I truly want? I could drop a story and shift back into the heart or back into the right mind. Self-inquiry is another wonderful thought. When you ask, who am I? Or who is it that sees this thought? Right? These types of inquiries. Who would I be without this thought? Right? These types of inquiries are helpful thoughts. So again, even though we're talking about letting go of thinking, we're also acknowledging that there are thoughts that come to help us let go of thinking, and those thoughts are to be listened to and followed, right? Helpful thoughts are thoughts that remind you to relax and stay as yourself, the watcher. These are thoughts of remembrance. And the ego would love for us to be confused so that when a thought comes in that says, just relax and watch this, we say, I'm supposed to let go of all thinking, let go of that too. Which maybe at some point, gently, that is able to happen, where we're able to shift so far back that the only thought that we need, the only helpful thought that we need anymore is let go or trust or be, you know. Maybe at some point there's one thought and it's the final thought. But for a time, for many of us, there are going to be different helpful thoughts that arise in different circumstances. And those thoughts are to be listened to and followed, because those thoughts are helping us let go of thinking. All right, I am done with this. So next week we will begin with 670. I'm going to be turning the mic over to Lynn. I'm going to do two things, actually. I'm going to save this recording and then start a new recording while Lynn plays a song. And then I will come back and begin the member meeting. So L-I-N, Lynn, I think you said you had that Beatles song ready to go. I'm going to turn the mic over to you. Here it is.